That Monday morning feeling, back to reality, down to earth with a bump. We all know what it feels like. The worst I've ever experienced it was when I was a teacher and I'd been on a skiing holiday with a group of friends over half term in the Alps. And we'd probably had what was the best holiday of my life. Amazing skiing, great food and wine, and of course, great fun and laughter all round. And then, of course, we had to go home and arrive back to Calais late on a Sunday night. Then getting back into the classroom on the next Monday morning was especially difficult. Marking, noisy children, instant coffee, staff briefing. Certainly back down to earth with a bump. And it actually lasted a whole week as I felt miserable that I was in rainy, boring England rather than on the Alpine slopes. Now, something like this happens in our gospel reading today. We've had the hosannas in the highest heaven, wise men and shepherds rejoicing, Mary, Joseph and the Christ child all gathered idyllically in the crib. And then comes the bump. Joseph gets warned in a dream to flee to Egypt. Herod flies into a rage and orders the death of all the children 2 years old and under. There is wailing and loud lamentation in Bethlehem. Just when we were enjoying Christmas, the message of hope and peace and joy, humming along with Away in a Manger stuck in our heads, Matthew breaks apart the scene around the crib, and the Holy Family become refugees, fleeing for their lives to Egypt. The reality of the world is that there continues to be suffering. The Prince of Peace might have been born, but Caesar and Herod are still firmly in place. Matthew reminds us that through the kingdom of God, it arrives with the birth of Christ, but it's certainly not fully present yet. How could it be with the slaughter of so many innocent children? But this, of course, is the world God chooses to come into. When God becomes incarnate, becomes a human being in Christ Jesus, he's exposed to all the world may throw at him. And though he might escape the terror on this occasion, the shadow of the cross is cast over this story. The powers of the world will get him in the end. Yes, it does seem problematic that only Jesus escapes the wrath of Herod. Why were the other parents not warned in similar dreams? But of course, while there is a flight to Egypt on this occasion, it's only in order that when this small child becomes an adult, he can freely choose to stay in the Garden of Gethsemane, to say, "Your will be done," instead of fleeing those seeking to kill. This is the reality of incarnation, the reality of the life God chooses to have in Christ. Before the child who is God with us has learned to walk and talk, he's become a homeless refugee with a price on his head. As our reading from Hebrews says, he's become like us in every respect. Because he himself was tested by what he suffered, he's able to help those who are being tested. And this is what makes the idea of God dwelling with us in Christ so wonderful. Whatever we might be going through, whatever we have to face, Christ has an insight into our experience and walks with us in our experience. Whenever we get that Monday morning feeling, the bump back to reality, we can know that Christ has shared something of what we experience. This is the God of Mondays to Fridays, not just the God of the weekends. And so as Ollie is baptized today later in this service, he's being committed to the same Jesus who will walk with him as he grows up. It's so important that the view we give Ollie of God is of the incarnate God, not a God who rules from on high in power, but who comes to earth in weakness and vulnerability. The God of Jesus Christ is a God who will be with him through the highs and lows of life, who will be there on the bleak Monday mornings just as much as on the joyous Friday afternoons. In a few days, we'll be welcoming in the new year. I wonder if you've made any resolutions yet. One recent survey found that at least half of us will make some kind of resolution. And the top 50 list in that survey includes some of the following: exercise more, eat better, cut down on alcohol, stop smoking, spend less time on Facebook or Twitter, learn a new language, average 8 hours sleep a night, that would be good, get a toned body like Beyonce, have cosmetic surgery, learn to bake a cake like Mary Berry. Well, I'm sure that many of those are very noble, but my suggestion is that perhaps our key resolution should be to reflect on how we can take the Christ child with us into 2014. As we experience the bump back to reality, when the Monday morning feeling hits, how can we make space to remember that Christ is with us in all times? How can we make room to allow the Christ child to grow with us as the year goes on? Perhaps we might make a resolve to make more time in the morning to read our Bible and then chew it over as the day goes on. Or perhaps we could make more of a conscious effort to pray during our day, conversing with God about all we're facing. Whatever we do, none of us knows what the year ahead holds. But what we can know is that Christ will walk with us in all that we face. He knows our joys and sorrows. He's present in our tears and laughter. He's just as much in the noisy classroom on a Monday morning as he is on the Alpine slopes. Because he himself was tested by what he suffered, he is able to help those who are being tested. Amen.